The following is a public affairs program of WZMO Radio. Sacred Conversations is a 30-minute program with three Marian pastors sitting around a kitchen table with coffee and donuts chatting. Let's listen in.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to Sacred Conversations, a collection of clergy around a table with some coffee as we chat about things that are relevant to all of us in terms of matters of faith. I'm Reverend Jennifer Bass of Epworth United Methodist Church, and we are so pleased that you are listening today. My colleagues are...
I'm Father Ed Shakina, the pastor of St. Mary Catholic Church in Marion, as well as Sacred Hearts Catholic Church in Cardington.
I'm Pastor Chuck Osborne, the lead pastor at Dayspring Wesleyan Church.
And today, we are talking about missions and outreach. We are talking about the ways that the church reaches out into the local community, out throughout the nation, and as well across the face of the earth. And so I'll start by asking you, Pastor Chuck, what does missions mean in today's world, and how would you say that Dayspring is involved in missions?
Yeah, missions to me is the idea like you have a project, I guess, that you're working towards, you know. And so for all of us, it's getting people to know who Jesus Christ is, allowing them to be born again or have their faith restored in some way, accepting that grace that Christ provides. And so that can be local missions for some people, can be right around our area, which is very important. And then we have here what we call global missions as well. And so we've tried to take a more balanced approach at that in our ministry, because there's things to be learned from the global community as well that I think we sometimes miss. I think what we have a tendency to do, especially in our culture, we tend to westernize what the mission looks like. And again, there's a global approach to that whole thing. So we do a lot of local missions, and we have a good chunk of money that goes to local missions and a good chunk of time that goes to local missions. But then in the last year, we brought in a guy by the name of Pastor Wayne, who is in charge of One Plus God. And he works for us part-time now, and he has taken us global missions as well. And so we've sent 50 kids this year to Jamaica. We've done two projects in Nicaragua. We've sent three missionaries this year to full-time. One we're getting ready to send to Japan. We just recently decided that we're going to plant a church in Thailand, which is a big deal because it's part of that 1040 window where the gospel is not really known in that area. Mm-hmm. And matter of fact, they've been in that area for over 20 years and barely had any conversions in that time, like one or two. And just this last time when we told them we're getting ready to plant a church, they had 20 baptisms and 8 salvations this year. So we're pretty excited about what God's getting ready to do there.
That's really amazing. Father Ed, what does missions look like in the Catholic Church, and how is, for instance, St. Mary's? I know that you pastor two congregations, but what is St. Mary's up to?
I think if we just look at universally the Catholic Church, we do have one understanding of mission, which is, like Pastor Chuck is talking about, actually going out. You can go out into the world and preach the gospel message in a very specific way, whether it's as lay missionaries or religious missionaries. We might have people who go out, let's say, to the Honduras and go into the poor areas and try to minister to the people there and their particular needs and tell others about Christ. But I also like to think that there's sort of where everybody's called to be a missionary. So there's, we had the gospel reading this past Sunday was from Luke 10, and that's the one where Jesus sends 72 disciples out, and then he says the harvest is abundant, but the laborers are few. So ask the master of the harvest to send out more laborers, and so the 72 kind of represent all baptized Christians. So it's not just the specific 12 apostles, but now Jesus is saying, hey, if you're a baptized Christian, you have a responsibility to, and he's saying, I'm sending you out to preach the gospel message. But again, not everybody's going to be called to that particular state of life of actually traveling to another country. And so I talked about how, you know, everybody can do something in their particular state of life. So if you're married, you know, you have a mission to, you know, bring the gospel message into your own home, whether it's with your spouse or your kids, or if you're in the workplace, even if you can't specifically talk about Jesus Christ in the workplace, you can live it out through kindness or patience or forgiveness or giving somebody a word of hope. Or if you're single and you do have that opportunity and that flexibility to travel, you can do that. Or if you're a religious person or, you know, religious brother or sister or a priest. For me in particular, so I may be a priest, but I'm not a mission priest. So my territory is actually here locally. So I'm actually assigned to Marion as well as Morrow County. And so this is, in a sense, my particular mission, which is to minister to the Catholics in this area. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and there are people who might be elderly and, you know, they really can't go out, but what can they do? Perhaps they can pass on the faith to their kids or their grandkids. And, you know, a lot of times that's, you know, takes intentionality. You know, it doesn't always just automatically happen. So that is part of the mission of bringing, you know, the light of Christ. You know, Jesus says, you know, I'm the light, and you must, you know, let this light shine before others, right? A light is not meant to be put under a bushel basket, as he says. It's meant to shine, as well as he talks about, I am the salt of the earth, or you are the salt of the earth. And so in that way, you know, Jesus is asking us to be very intentional about making sure that that God is known to others. And so this is why I think, you know, it's good to talk about the missions, because we're not talking only about specific people being able to go out, but we're talking about everybody who is a baptized Christian has actually been sent by the Lord to, in their own particular way, to be able to spread the gospel message.
I appreciate you saying that. And one of the ways that you and I are similar, Father Ed, is that we get sent, yeah. We get sent to a parish. In the United Methodist Church, we call it appointed. I got appointed to Marion, and my husband and I, Jared and I, are beginning our 10th year here in Marion, Ohio, and we love it. But John Wesley, the founder of the Methodist movement within the Anglican Church, often said, "The world is my parish." And so it reminds me that while we are called to maybe a specific locale, ministry extends across the face of the earth, and part of our charge from God is to spread that good news and to let people know about the love of God for them in Jesus Christ. What I appreciate about your experience in the Catholic Church is that similarly, the United Methodist Church has a connection all across the face of the earth. We've got it's a global denomination, and so every dollar that, for instance, I give to the church, I can be certain that a portion of that goes to support missionaries all around the globe. And I really am grateful for that, because you might think, oh, you know, how much can one congregation do in terms of a global impact? But to know that you are being supportive of people in all kinds of countries doing all kinds of cool things is very neat.
Yeah, and actually, you talk about, you know, the donations that we can give. So just 3 weekends ago, we had two mission priests who came in from Tanzania. And so their role being here in the United States is to go out and do mission appeals. So they talk about their particular area, their diocese of Tonga in Tanzania, talking about their needs. So, you know, a lot of people there don't have fresh water. They don't have, you know, a water department. Mm-hmm. And so how do they get their fresh water? They dig wells, you know, but that's costly. And so that was part of what they had come to our particular parish, both parishes, St. Mary's and Sacred Hearts in Carrington. And they just spoke about what they're doing and the needs in Tanzania, and then we took up a collection. So that was, in a sense, another way of helping to spread the gospel message through our actions, bringing the light of Christ to others, just by helping those, you know, in a charitable way who are in need. So so that's also another way that our particular parishes participated in the mission of the church.
And how cool, Pastor Chuck, that your congregation here at Dayspring, where we happen to be taping today, is actively sending missionaries out overseas. What do you think motivates some people to say yes to God in that very special way and to go in cross-cultural missions?
I think it comes down to, like, all of us, right? You know, we just have this special calling, right, where we just felt impressed by God to begin to lead people to the saving faith, you know. And so some people will get the passion. For me, it was local. I always wanted to be local. That's just where I felt like God had me. For other people, they see, like, the bigger needs, like, across the world. And so I'm pretty proud of the one couple in our church who, he graduated with me, and graduated around the same time, went to Ravalli, he went to Harding. But here's a local kid who is now translating the Bible in Papua New Guinea and has been there since college.
Oh, wow.
You know, he and his wife. And I just think that's really cool, right? But they had a vision that not everyone can read the word in their own language, so they wanted to help that happen, you know. We have another girl, we can't tell you the location she's at, but she's going into an area where they don't respect women at all. Mm-hmm. And she is going to minister, and man, I can't tell you how hard that is. And I don't know how to describe this, but to say that girl is putting her life in danger, and her parents have to be okay with that, and us as a church, as we're sending her, knowing that we're sending her to a dangerous area, like, you know, that does some. But man, I'm thinking, but that call on that girl, she got that call when she was 12 years old. She read a missionary book and thought, that's what I want to do. Not have a family, not, you know, enjoy all the luxuries we have here, but I want to go minister to a place that they don't even want me there.
There's a movie, isn't there, called Tip of the Spear or something like that, that, you know, you have these Christian missionaries that go to this particular area, and, you know, in the end, they're actually martyred for the faith. And, you know, they're just trying to spread the gospel message.
Right.
So it is, you know, a lot of people go in, they know that there is a danger, there's a risk, but they're willing to do it because they think, I've got something important to share, a message of salvation and good news. And so, yeah, it's quite heroic, I think, for people
and
to do
Pastor
that.
And Pastor Chuck, you mentioned that you are sending a missionary to Japan.
Yes.
For a 3-year term to start.
Yeah.
So what has been your church's experience in short-term missions? I know you said that you sent 50 youth to Jamaica.
Yeah.
What did they work on while they went there?
Yeah, they were connected with a Nazarene church, and they went in and helped build some church buildings, and then they ministered to some of the locals as well, went to some of the orphanages, and just spent time with the people. One thing we found about, you know, you're sending these kids over because you want them to minister to people, but what we've found most is that they've been ministered to, right? Like, they didn't realize how good they kind of have things.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't realize that in what we've been given, we actually have a responsibility then to reach out. I think one of the things that we've learned on missions trips, though, is that we can't do all the work ourselves. And so we don't just send a bunch of money over with kids, but we try to leave some money for the locals as well so they can finish the projects, because it's got to be part of their thing as well, instead of just us going over there, look at us Americans, we're coming over here, we're going to do this great thing, right?
Yeah.
It's like partnering with them. And then what we found is then they take more ownership in it as well, and so then it has better longevity when they do that.
Absolutely. I know that has been some of the criticism of short-term mission trips, is that the West, or, you know, maybe the United States, sometimes sends missionaries with an attitude of, we'll save them, but then they're there for a week and they leave. And so there has been some criticism of the value of short-term missions. I'll tell you, at Epworth, we just this very week are sending a team of 26. It's an intergenerational team, 26 people from our congregation to Southern Kentucky. And this is the first mission trip that we've been on since COVID, the pandemic years. So this is our first out-of-state mission trip. We've done lots of local missions and outreach, and we love this community. But this is the first time that we are going out of state to minister to the needs of one family in Central Appalachia. And it is a young teenage boy that got into some kind of a car accident and now needs a wheelchair ramp from the driveway up into the house, but it crosses this little gully, you know, the hills of Southern Kentucky. So it's going to be quite the project. And my deepest prayer is not only that this teenager is ministered to and his family, but also that the youth of my church and the adult volunteers that went down and the parents that went down, that they will just come home on fire for the Lord and excited to serve and excited about what they were able to accomplish with God's help down there.
Yeah, and right, you get more out of it than, you know, what you put in. So I think it's, you know, if there is any question of like, well, what should be my motivation? Obviously, you know, our first motivation should be, you know, we love God, we love the people, and we want to help serve them. But if there's anybody that says, I'm not sure if I love people enough to go serve, well, think about, okay, at least what's the benefit for you? What's the value as a young person? Perhaps it's just the experience, you know, maybe the joy that you'll get out of it. Even if you say, well, it's something I could put on my resume, you know, then, you know, so be it. But at least, you know, at least you're going to be making a difference. And so I think it's, you know, it's a good thing to do.
Absolutely. One of the questions I had for you, Father Ed, was about St. Vincent de Paul Food Pantry and Thrift Store. My husband Jared and I were driving through town just yesterday evening, and we saw a local homeless fellow who is well known to us because he is often at Epworth. He's often at Epworth to pray. He's often there for meals and to receive some emergency food. And I just kind of saw him walking right there in that area. I wondered if you would tell me a little bit more about the ministry that your congregation does through St. Vincent de Paul Food Pantry to the people who are, you know, hungry and homeless in the downtown area.
Yeah, sure. So we have the ministry of giving people food who are, you know, just maybe they just can't afford food, you know, all month long. And so once a month they're able to go in and get food. And a lot of that food is we do have to purchase that food. Mid-Ohio Food Bank is probably our biggest supplier. And so because it costs money, we do have to rely on donations. And so we do donations. We actually just took donations just this past weekend, just from the congregation at the end of the Mass. The people who are volunteers from St. Vincent de Paul will stand at the doors and collect that money because it's necessary. The church as a whole as well makes a charitable donation around Christmas time. And then, of course, people, we need people to volunteer. We do have people who volunteer from my parish as well as Epworth United Methodist and other churches in the area. We do have a clothing pantry. So, you know, people are just encouraged to donate their clothing items. And then anybody can go in and purchase the clothing at a cheap cost. So a little bit of money is made there. So the intent really is just the recognition that there is a need in Marion for people to be able to eat. And
so St. Vincent de Paul relies on food and material donations?
Food and material, that's right.
As well as financial donations.
Financials, that's right.
All right. That's a really cool way. If any of our listeners want to be involved in serving the public and helping those who are going through a hard time. Now, Pastor Chuck, I know I've seen pictures on Facebook, for instance, of youth and young adults from Dayspring helping at Leapin' Outreach Center. Is that right?
Yeah. Yes, that's the local homeless shelter that we've actually built a couple rooms, helped build that out, made some donations, and then the kids go there and help. You know, we do our big Thanksgiving meal as well. But one of the cool things that we just recently sent, we actually sent a group of hunters over to South Africa. And so they were on a hunting trip, but the purpose of the hunting was to provide for an orphanage over there. And so they were able to provide meals for, I think, 6 months because it's fresh meat for 800 families, I believe.
Oh, my gosh.
And so, so, you know, some people may look down on that, but it was a kind of a good way and means of getting food to these areas. And so one of the things we even do when we do our Thanksgiving meal now and raise money for that, we try to make sure that we're raising money for something overseas as well.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. I'm going to ask both of you to reflect on your experiences with missions, if you've gone on mission trips or if you've led mission trips, just to ask how it shaped your faith. But I'll go ahead and I'll start. When I was a teenager, I went down to southern Ohio when there was terrible flooding along the Ohio River. And I remember dealing with all of the mud and all of the cleanup in the heat of the summer, but I felt like I was helping to do God's work even as a young kid. And that really kind of set me on a path toward realizing that God had a call on my life to full-time credentialed ministry. But I always loved the practical aspect of helping, for instance, a family overcome a terrible challenge, and that was really foundational to my faith in Christ. Yeah. Go ahead, Father Ed.
In 2012, in the summertime, I was already in the seminary, and in the summertime we have assignments where we go to different parishes within the diocese. And that summer just happened to be a summer that I was going to take a trip to Kenya. To see, because my parents had been in the Peace Corps and they were in Kenya for a 2-year assignment, and I went to see them after they were there for 1 year, and I thought, well, if I'm going to go over there, maybe I could just do some work while I'm there in Kenya. And so I asked the bishop if it was okay for me to, instead of staying in a parish for a summer as my assignment, that I could actually take do some work over there in Kenya as part of my assignment, and he agreed. And so for 4 weeks, I was there to work at an orphanage. And so even though I wasn't there specifically to, you know, talk about Christ or to spread the gospel message in that way, I was there to minister to these kids. And I would say, you know, one thing I learned is just the value of family and community, because even though these kids are orphanages, the important thing is that they had each other, and so they would find joy in just being together, despite the fact that their parents, you know, maybe had died or were somewhere else. The kids would play together, and they didn't have, you know, toys or electronics. You know, they had sticks and stones, or they would play soccer with. They would take like the plastic grocery bags, and they would tie them all together and make a soccer ball out of it.
Oh my
and
that goodness.
That's what they would play with. Or if they did have a soccer ball, it was half deflated. But the fact that they had each other is what made just gave them great joy. So I recognize from that the value of a family and community. But they still enjoyed having me there and trying to help them.
Mm-hmm.
And then I tried to help raise money. I helped build a website that would get more people to recognize who they were as a particular orphanage and to try to raise money for them. So, I think it was good for me, I think, just to help shape,
you know, my understanding of serving others. So,
yeah. So we've taken the teens. When I was youth pastor, we probably did 5-6 trips to Jamaica, helping build things. But to me personally, when I was in college, and I think it was in '94, Russia had just opened the doors to religious things, and I went on a missions trip with our denomination. We ran a youth camp. And so we were trying to do this youth camp to people that are pretty cold towards religion. And we had a group of interpreters. We had to use them to talk through. And we would say stuff like we felt like it was pretty exciting about the gospel, and it would be as monotone and as soft as could be. Then we noticed in week two that they started getting a little bit more animated, and we found out that our interpreters started getting saved. And as they got saved, they began to communicate the gospel like that. So here's the coolest story, though, full circle. When I was in seminary, I had a professor who was from Russia, and she was asking me if I had ever been to Russia. I said, yeah, I actually did this youth camp. And she said, where was the youth camp at? And I said, Vladimir, Russia. And she said, I was at that camp. And we looked, and we had a picture. And so here's the crazy thing, right? She was one of our interpreters who got saved and is now my teacher in seminary.
Oh, my gosh.
Teaching me Greek, you know. And I was like it was just so incredible to
That's
see.
That's amazing. You know? That's amazing. Thank you both so much for sharing your stories today. And I guess we really just encourage all of our listeners to pay attention to where God is working all around you, and to pay attention to that still small voice that invites you and taps you on the shoulder and invites you to participate and cooperate with all of the work that God is doing around each and every one of us. And that's just one way that we can each discern, you know, our personal mission field. Thank you so much for tuning in today. It is always good to spend time with you guys. And once again, I'm Reverend Jennifer Bass of Epworth United Methodist Church in downtown Marion. We worship together at 10:30 a.m. each Sunday, and we'd love to see you sometime.
And I'm Father Ed Shekina, the pastor of St. Mary Catholic Church in Marion. Our Mass times are Saturday evening at 5 p.m., as well as Sunday morning at 8 a.m., 11 a.m., and then a Spanish Mass at 1 p.m., as well as those who might be in the Cardington area. I'm the pastor of Sacred Hearts Church there, and our Mass times are Saturday evening at 4:30 p.m., and then Sunday morning at 9 a.m.
I'm Pastor Chuck Osborne from Day Spring Wesleyan, and our services are at 9:30 on Sunday mornings and then 11 as well.
God bless you all, and we'll see you soon.
Sacred Conversations is heard twice a week on WZMO. Check our website program schedule for times, or you can hear the program on demand from our website anytime. Thank you for listening.